I'm back and I'm with David now in the studio. Very good morning to you, and what do you have in store for us this morning?
Good morning to you. Good morning to our dear listeners.
Mm.
Today we are going to reflect on Global Africa Green Hydrogen Summit, which is still happening in Namibia.
Yeah,
we are going to look at who are the key players in that green hydrogen summit. What is the content of the key players? Because I have managed to get into the conversation with one of the business persons, and what was very interesting is also that when it's coming to equipment, when it's coming to pumps, for example, when it's coming to things which are being used in green hydrogen industry, whatever project which is being presented there, you'll be able also to understand that a majority of these businesses are also coming from outside, but they also have Namibians. Then you also look at what are some of the skills that, you know, Namibians are also having in working in those green hydrogen, you know, programs, and also to see where these materials coming from, which are being used to be assembled here in Namibia, and also the market in general. But we look at who are the key players. As you understand, we'll be in conversation with Kenneth Kasita. He's a sales person for, you know, KSB Supreme Self. It's one of the German companies which is dealing with pumps and also other equipment which are being used in green hydrogen industry. And it's not only in Namibia, but it's in many other African countries and also in the whole world, just to look at that context.
Mm-hmm. All right. I see that the summit is going to end on the 11th. After the summit, what mostly are we going to expect coming out of this summit? Are there some declarations to be signed? Or
that is also what we expect. And looking at also different key players in that industry, you are also able to see what are the Namibian politicians are saying, what are the Namibian business people are saying, especially when it's coming to green hydrogen. But that is what is expected. And when you look at what the Deputy Prime Minister have said yesterday, he indicated that, guys, let us move now from talking to actions.
Mm-hmm.
We have done a lot with talking.
Yeah.
And let us also look at what can we do with this project. I think he's repeating his points, particularly when it's coming to Namibia energy industry, because when you look at what he said again at oil and gas summit, it's almost the same to say, guys, let us move to actions, and also let us make sure that what is being said here will also be able also to be tangible and seen by the people on the ground. That is exactly what's happening. But maybe just not to preempt the conversation,
yeah,
it's also the matter of what is the international world is saying, because I was also surprised to see that, you know, Toyota company from Japan, they signed an agreement with or MOU with one of their green hydrogen project to make sure that they are being supplied with green iron, which is a huge market. And the question that we are asking is to see who is going to benefit from this. And how are Namibians going to benefit from this? Those are some of the questions that we're going to ask ourselves.
Right. On that note, I have to leave it there. And then we shall meet again tomorrow. And from myself, Matthias Sangara, bye-bye for now.
Join us every weekday for the Twilight between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. where we discuss various ways on how we can develop our country. The Twilight before the sun comes up. Join us every weekday for the Twilight between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. where we discuss various ways on how we can develop our country. The Twilight before the sun comes up.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be. Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. I think it's the right time to thank Matia Sangala. And this is your economic conversation program. This is your economic conversation program. Very sorry for my voice. It's a bit cracking, but it will not stop us to move forward. So wherever you are finding yourself, we are greeting you. We are greeting you from your number one talk radio station in Namibia. That is Eagle FM. And wherever you are finding yourself, we are greeting you, and we are always very happy, especially when you open or you get an opportunity to make sure that you listen to programs of Eagle FM at this point in time. So, yeah, it's the 11th of September, 2025. We are moving toward the end of the year. And we are pushing. Let's push. It's almost December. It's not the right time to give up. And it's also what we are always indicating to you. Every morning we are indicating to you that we are giving you strength. That's why we are always giving you data in order to make sure that when you are making those decisions, when you are evaluating those mistakes that you have done, look at the data, look at where the money is going, look at where the informations are coming from so that you can make a better decision. So some of you are on your way to work. Some of you are traveling from town to another town. Some of you are leaving the country. Some of you are coming back. Some of you are going back home from work. And some of you are waking up thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do in this complicated economy? Although these changes in the economy, there are also opportunities which are emerging. Because remember, the same person of your age, same person of your strength, maybe not even of better health, who are able to wake up today and grab that opportunity that you are contemplating about. That's why we are always indicating to you, do not be a pessimist always, but make sure that the moment that you wake up, you are exactly at the right place at the right time. It's how you act from there moving forward. So for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop. With me, David Shombe, and we are here from the hour of 6 until the hour of 8. And this is a platform that we discuss everything which is happening, on the economy, everything which is happening on geopolitics, everything which is happening on governance, and also everything which affect bread and butter issue. And we are always making sure that we are cutting across, all the sectors, of development, because we understand that for us to discuss development, we don't only need to discuss about money. We don't only need to discuss about uh, schools, buildings, and built hospitals, and also railway connectivity. But at the center of development, we talk about human beings. We talk about human beings to say, although Namibia have better infrastructure, although Namibia have better roads infrastructure, how many Namibians are able to use those infrastructure? How many Namibians are safe? How many Namibians have the capacity and ability to use those infrastructure? Because we must not confuse development with buildings, and we also must not confuse development with growth of the economy or development with or the amount of natural resources that we are selling. But development must be compared in all the dimensions or in all the dimensions. That's why we are always trying to bring you what is happening, particularly in the Namibian economy. We look at trade issues. We look at how are we doing trade-wise? How are we doing trade-wise? How are our trade balance? Are we making surplus, or we are just operating on deficit? We are also looking at financial institutions such as Central Bank. We look at commercial banks. We look at the accessibility of finance and also opportunity in the financial sector to say, how are Namibians getting opportunity to use these financial sectors? How many Namibians are included in this sector? We touch on SME. And like we always say, SMEs are a center of national development. Informal sectors, they contribute much to the national development, because that is where the money is circulating. That is where the money is circulating. And if you continue supporting the SMEs, if you continue supporting those people who are selling kapanas, those one who are selling at across the road, those are the people who are keeping money circulating around. Those are the people who are making sure that Namibian dollar is strong, and also saving people around, because the more money circulating around, the more money is also creating employment and also solving problems. So those are the conversation that we are always having at this platform. And like we are indicating to you, we do not dictate on the direction of the conversation. We do not dictate on the direction of the conversation, because we believe in your democratic rights and freedom of expressing your views and opinion without violating the rights of other people. That is why we are always making sure that on this ground, at this platform, we open the line. We open the line after every deep conversation that we bring about, so that you can be able also to call on air, so that you can ask your question, give your clarification, give your constructive criticism, and move the conversation forward. Because, you know, we have a very good understanding to say, if you want to build institutions, if you want to build a country, if you want to strengthen your regional economic bloc, you need to understand that you need people who are not only agreeing with you, but people who challenge you, people who argue with you in a professional way, and also people who bring different perspectives on the table. Because it could be that you are a person who have done more research about the topic that we are discussing about, or it could be that you are a person who is invested more in that conversation, or it could be that you are a person who have practical experience in that discussion that we are bringing about. That's why we always respect the views from the other side, and that is the only way that we are going to develop our country, and that is the only way that we are going to see things that we did not do right. Because there are always, even if the system look better, there are always smart ways of on improving the system. There are always better way of innovating, and there are always better way of testing new ideas about advancing. Because when you look at how the world have been developing, humankind have always trying to make sure that they find a better way of comfort, better way of innovating, smart way, and also saving of time. That's why when you look at change in terms of machines, technology, you'll be able to understand that it's always about speed, smartness, and also saving of time. Because human beings, it's no more about working with a hammer, but it's also about working smart, save time, and focus on key critical areas. So before we go to what we have on the table today, like we're always indicating to you, before you go to what we have on the table today, we're always telling you to say, get connected with us, like and share our page. Go to Eagle FM Namibia page on Facebook. Go to X, go to Instagram, and go to LinkedIn. Just what you need to do like and share that page. When you like and share that page, what it means is it means that when you do that, you will be able to be updated on what is happening in your country in terms of energy, in terms of economic growth, in terms of political communication, in terms of investment, in terms of governance, what is happening in your country, what is happening in SADC, and also what is happening at the global arena. So like and share that page, because you have a luxury of getting access to information. And also those who are following you will also be able to follow us and will also not miss out. Apart from you liking and sharing the page of the Village of Eagle FM, we also have the Villager newspaper. We have the Villager newspaper. The Villager newspaper is an e-paper which is coming out every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Friday. And we are always saying to you, we're always saying to you that if you are a developmental enthusiast, if you are somebody who is interested in national development, if you are somebody who want to improve yourself, if you are somebody who is a student but you want to be a better student with data, with content and context, make sure that you use the Villager newspaper as part of your sources of information. If you are an academician, you are a researcher, or you are just an ordinary person who is interested in national development, what's happening around the country, we cover that sector. We cover that sector of finance. We cover that sector of development, that sector of energy, from Zambezi region to Orange. And make sure that you get that content. And with the Villager newspaper, what is very interesting about the Villager newspaper, you will also be able to get content of opinions of experts and views of experts who are also expressing their opinions about certain matters, and you'll be able also to educate yourself and capacitate yourself, because we are always saying, you know, investment in knowledge is the greatest investment that can save you long term, because if you invest in your capacity, if you have data, if you have information, it's easy for you to see a situation and also see how you can move out, how you can survive that situation, or how you can avoid a certain situation, particularly at this point in time where we do not need to make mistakes anymore, where we do not need to make mistakes anymore that we have been doing for the past 35 years, especially when it's coming to the economic development, when it's coming to human development, especially at this point in time where you do not need to do a certain mistake that you have been doing. You don't need to repeat a mistake that you have been doing, particularly when it's coming to issues of money, issues of investment, and issues of trade. So make sure that you like and share the Villager newspaper. And also, you can also subscribe if you want the Villager newspaper to be sent into your phone every Monday morning and Wednesday morning, and also Friday morning. Send your name and save this number, 081-241-44. That is 081-200-4144. You send your name to that number and save that as your WhatsApp contact detail, and we can be able to send you the soft copy of the Villager newspaper every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. The other thing is also Eagle FM app. Eagle FM app. You are always finding those who are asking to say, Eagle FM Namibia, where are you? Why are we not connected to you? Are you not on the frequency? Or why are we not connected to you, although we have seen posters around, we have seen posters on different social media, but when it's coming to the radio, at the place where I am, I'm not connected. So what is the problem? We are telling you to say, people have moved. People have moved. Other people have already transferred to the app. And we are giving you this good news to say, if you have a smartphone and you want to listen to the current programs which are on air, make sure that you download Eagle FM app. We have an app, and its operational mechanism is almost exactly like WhatsApp, because you can operate with it everywhere you are. Everywhere you are. Whether you are in Nigeria, whether you are in Mozambique, whether you are in China, North Korea, America, wherever you are finding yourself. As long as you have connection to internet, what you need to do, just make sure that you go to your Play Store, go to your App Store, and download Eagle FM app. And when you do that, you bought yourself a luxury of listening to the economic programs which are on air, and also the previous programs that you can access through a podcast. On top of that, you can also make sure that you download Imba app, which is an app that is a digital version of hymnbook. If you do not have a hard copy hymnbook, but you're asked to attend a certain congregation, you are at church, you are at a graduation party, you are at a send-off party, you are at a wedding, a birthday, and you are required to sing from a hymnbook, and you do not have it, do not worry. Don't feel embarrassed, because technology is here. The world of digitalization is here. Just go to your App Store, go to your Play Store, then you press Imba app, then you download that app, then you'll be able to access the soft copy of the hymnbook in various Namibian languages, whether it's English, or Shiwambo, that is your Ehangano, or Maimburiro, that is Ocherero, you'll find in Afrikaans, you find in Osirozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So make sure that you download Imba app and you make your life more easier. Other thing, you can also buy airtime on air. You can also buy airtime on air. If you are an SME, if you are a medium enterprise, if you are a multinational corporation, make sure that you invest in advertising with us, because we are always indicating to you that reaching thousands of customers within a second is something that you can give a turnaround to your business. So what you can do, make sure that you talk to our marketing team. Talk to our marketing manager, this is Monica Ipinge, and you can be able to buy airtime that is on air, and you can also advertise through the Villager newspaper, because we are always saying money invested in advertisement is money on your way, or money on the way to come back to the investor. That is why when you want to reach large number of clients, invest in radio advertisement. Invest with Eagle FM, or you can also invest with the Villager newspaper, where you can advertise at an understandable price. Then when you do that, you can reach your clients wherever they find themselves in the world, as long as they have access to our product, as long as they have access to the digital platform, then you are safe, and that is money on its way to you. So the time is 26 minutes past the hour of 6. We are moving toward with our early morning scoop. This is your economic conversational program, and it's your economic conversational program with me, David Shombe, and we are here until the hour of 8. And yeah, let us look at commercial break. Then we can see what do we have for you. What do we have for you on an international ground? What is happening on an international ground? What is happening in the continent of Africa? What is happening in Namibia? What are some of the progress? What are some of the challenges? And what are some of the opportunities? And how can you navigate through those challenges? And also, how are you going to reach the end? Which is the end result of what you put on the table? Because at the end of the day, no matter the situation on the jungle, result must be achieved, and also no matter the challenges on the jungle, you must make sure that what you have planned, you will get it, even if it take thousands of years. But what is very interesting is also that when you listen to us, when you give you data, when you have this conversation, that is one of the best way to contribute to the conversation, and also to contribute to the changes within our system. And also, what can we do to make sure that we elevate the conversation beyond the basic conversation? We elevate the conversation at the cooker shop beyond the basic conversation to say who is sleeping with who, is gossiping, who has what, who stole money here. Let us elevate the conversation to be intentional, and also to be result oriented, particularly when it's coming to development, because one of the best thing to ask yourself is that when you meet a person and you enter into a conversation, one of the questions that you need to ask yourself is that, what am I getting from this conversation? Is it productive? Is it productive for my health? Is this conversation productive? Is this conversation going to bring me anything was just going to bring me stress. Is this a gossiping zone or is an educative platform? That's why we are always trying to make sure that when it's coming to issue of bread and butter, we are at the center of that. When it's coming to issue of bread and butter, we like and we respect what you bring on the table, and we interrogate that matter with intention and with the aim of making sure that we get the Namibia that we want in terms of our developmental priorities. We get the Namibia that we want in the zone of SADC, the Namibia that we want in the zone of African continent, particularly in line with African Agenda 2063, and also the aspect of African continental free trade area. So that is where the conversation is going. That is the aim of economic development conversation, to make sure that challenges that we are facing of unemployment, challenges that we are facing of energy, challenges that we are facing of food insecurity, challenges that we are facing of economic imbalance, this can only be achieved if we sit on the table and we see what are we doing right, what are we doing wrong, what other countries, what big boys have done, what other countries have done, how did other countries manage their resources. And yeah, so let us look at, let's pay the bills, let's pay the bills. Then we can come straight and right into the conversation for today. And yeah, stay tuned, we are here until the hour of 8.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. And so it's very important also to look at what is happening. What is happening around the world? What is happening around the world? What is happening in the continent of Africa? And also what is happening in SADC region? And also what is happening in Namibia? What are some of the opportunities which are there? And also, what are some of the challenges, which are there? And yeah, starting from the international ground, it was it was indicated that one of Trump supporter, an activist by the name Charik Kelk, was shot and killed while he was attending. He was attending an event at a certain university in the United States of America. It brought a lot of views around the assassination, to say this young man who is not just 31 years. What happened to him? Was he assassinated by accident? Was he assassinated with a political motive? And also Donald Trump himself also gave a message of condolences, and also indicated that he was so shocked. And a lot of people, especially lawmakers, former president, they are also giving their views. Say the suspect is still at large. It's not yet caught. How come this activist and the supporter of Donald Trump got shot? And I think it's quite very important also to look at what have happened. And also to look at the message from the President of the United States of America. Is this politically motivated? Is it part of what is happening in the geopolitical world? Or is it a terror attack? Or is it just something which have happened? But let us listen to Mr. Trump and also look at what other sources are saying.
To my great fellow Americans, I am filled with grief and anger at the heinous assassination of Charlie Kirk on a college campus in Utah. Charlie inspired millions, and tonight all who knew him and loved him are united in shock and horror. Charlie was a patriot who devoted his life to the cause of open debate and a country that he loved so much, the United States of America. He fought for liberty, democracy, justice, and the American people. He's a martyr for truth and freedom, and there's never been anyone who was so respected by youth. Charlie was also a man of deep, deep faith, and we take comfort in the knowledge that he is now at peace with God in heaven. Our prayers are with his wife, Erica, the two young, beloved children, and his entire family, who he loved more than anything in the world. We ask God to watch over them in this terrible hour of heartache and pain. This is a dark moment for America. Charlie Kirk traveled the nation, joyfully engaging with everyone interested in good faith debate. His mission was to bring young people into the political process, which he did better than anybody ever, to share his love of country and to spread the simple words of common sense. On campuses nationwide, he championed his ideas with courage, logic, humor, and grace. It's long past time for all Americans and the media to confront the fact that violence and murder are the tragic consequence of demonizing those with whom.
Yeah. That is a message. It's a message from Donald Trump. The question a lot of people are asking is to say, what happened to this young man, 31-year-old activist and great ally of Donald Trump, who was shot at campus, was a debater, conversationalist, and is also somebody who played the crucial roles when it's coming to political debates. But what really happened? Where is the person of interest? Let us look at other news regarding Charlie. Other news regarding Charlie before we go to Africa. But the main question that we need to ask is that America being at the global stage, Donald Trump being also at the center of a global stage, whether it's the economy, whether it's geopolitics. The question I'm asking myself is that, are these terrorists in the US, or is just somebody who was assassinated by accident? Because there are a lot of analysts who are saying it could be an accident, could be an intentional, because 31-year-old men, young men, getting shot. Something that is questionable, something that is questionable, shot dead. But let us look at this news, and let us also see if this is connected to what has been happening, particularly either is tariff, either is political enemies, allies, or is just a coincidence.
Shock in the US after a prominent right-wing activist, Charlie Kirk, was shot dead while addressing students on a campus in Utah. Video footage showed Mr. Kirk, a close ally of Donald Trump, speaking and then slumping down in his seat. Charlie Kirk was credited with persuading young voters to support Donald Trump ahead of his election and was known to be close to the president and his family. In the last few minutes, Mr. Trump took to social media to confirm that Mr. Kirk has died. From Washington, Nick Beek has the latest.
It started just like any other university event that Charlie Kirk has done, on the road to becoming one of President Trump's most prominent supporters. But soon after he took to the stage, this.
Oh my God.
A single shot, and Charlie Kirk slumps to the floor, blood pouring from his neck. Panic on the Utah campus, a scramble for safety.
I was watching from pretty close up, and I heard a pop, and I thought, no, that nobody's shooting firecrackers, right? This is the middle of the day. And then I watched a fountain of blood come out of the side of his neck like a water fountain, and it was surreal.
President Trump soon posted this message on social media. We must all pray for Charlie Kirk, who has been shot. A great guy from top to bottom. God bless him. 31 years old, one of America's most recognizable conservative activists, whose full-throttled support for Donald Trump has supercharged the MAGA movement. His regular appearances drawing crowds and both support and criticism. Today's event in Utah was part of Charlie Kirk's so-called comeback tour. Eyewitnesses said he was asked about gun crime in the USA.
A student went up there and asked Charlie Kirk a question about how many transgender shooters there had been in U.S. history. Charlie Kirk answered, the student gave him a rebuttal. And then Charlie Kirk goes to pick up the microphone to answer the second question, and that's when the shots went off.
An activist whose voice had been heard far and wide never finished his sentence.
Yeah, that is what's happening. That is what's happening on international ground. What's happening on international ground. And, you know, when you look at, American history, when you look at American history, you must also be able also to understand that September, the month of September is not a good month in American history, especially that is associated with September 11, when American, in the early 2000 there, the early 2000, more than three airplanes were hijacked, and also with its passengers, and hijacked by terrorists, and they hit, you know, some of the critical buildings in the United States of America. And it caused the death of thousands of people, and it's almost 3,000 people in one day, And when you look at the history of America, from there, and how it responded as Al-Qaeda have claimed responsible, you also be able to see Twin Towers burning. And especially today, September 11 in American history, it's not a good history. And it's one of the dark days. But looking at what a young man also shot one day before September 11, you'll be able also to understand that it could be a coincidence. It could be also the enemies of the United States showing themselves. But it's also quite not a popular thing to do, especially when it's coming to assassination of politicians. But, you know, when you look at where the world is, you're able to think that in an advanced world, people have to look at civilized ways of solving disputes. But the things of assassination to politicians it's happening in the first world is also something which is questionable. To say America was supposed to be the leader of democracy, as the thinkers and also the practitioners of democracy, most of the practical theories of democracy coming from the United States, particularly the ideology of Abraham Lincoln. But seeing what is happening, especially a young man of 31 years who is assassinated, whoever political alliance we are, it's quite an unpopular thing. And also people ask a lot of questions to say, is this the enemy of the United States or internal affairs, or is it terrorist, or what is happening? And yeah, let us move forward. Let us come back to Africa. Let us come back home to Africa. What is happening at home? When it's coming to Africa, it is indicated that African leaders, they are looking ahead, or they are looking ahead, or they are eyeing power import from Ethiopia. What you need to understand is also that Ethiopia made one of the best innovation by using the Nile River. The Nile River is a source of energy. They built one of the most, the largest dam. That is called, it's the largest dam in Africa, to boost its economy. It's indicated that Ethiopia on Tuesday inaugurated Africa's largest dam to boost the economy, to aid also the blackout, and also to support the growth of electrical vehicle development in the country, and also banning of importation of gasoline powered vehicles. You need to be able to understand that when it's coming to how the world is moving, and it's coming to how the world is moving, the world is now looking at green energy, looking at renewable energy. And Africa is one of the countries with richness in terms of renewable energy, and also trying also to move away from the use of fossil fuels or the use of gases which are dirtying the environment, dirtying the air, and also causing climate change which impact the human beings. But what you need to be able to understand is also that when it's coming to Ethiopia is the capital of Africa. It's the capital of Africa. And they are making moves. And it's indicated that African leaders are also eyeing that dam. It's indicated that almost 5 billion mega dam. It's almost costing 5 billion US dollars, especially which is connected to the Nile River. And engineers and also water expert, electrical expert, I indicated that this is the biggest move to Africa. It's the biggest move to Africa. And can also be able to supply Africa with green energy. Then you see Ethiopia is also joining the league, where Namibia is also part of the league of, production of green energy, which is what is wanted. So it's indicated that, you know, Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed, speaking during the launch, said them was a big achievement that would show the world what Africa are capable of accomplishing. He stated that, though, it's now time for Africa. There are things that we can also do. There are things that we can also do, not only to run when we are in trouble, but also to solve our own problems. So that is one of the very interesting things. And it's also stated that African leaders are also looking ahead at that green energy. And yeah, let us look at this news and moving forward.
Various leaders who attended the inauguration of the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam hailed the project as life-changing in the Eastern African country. Dozens of visiting African heads of states and government joined Abiy Ahmed for the inauguration, with many expressing interest in importing power from Ethiopia. Countries like Kenya have now promised to import electricity from Ethiopia to boost its national grid capacity.
The Ethiopian Renaissance Dam is not merely a national project. It is a pan-African statement. It exemplifies the scale and ambition of African-led infrastructure and aligns with Africa Union's vision of continental energy connectivity.
Somalia's President Mohamud also hailed the project.
We understand that water resources touch life differently in each country. For some, it's about survival and water security. For others, it's about energy and growth. All these perspectives are valid.
Also in attendance was South Sudan's President Salva Kiir, who also promised to import electricity from Ethiopia to boost his country's energy capacity.
I am also pleased to announce that South Sudan is looking forward to signing an agreement to receive power from the dam.
The almost $5 billion mega dam, located on a tributary of the River Nile in the northwest of the country near the border with Sudan, will produce more than 5,000 megawatts and is expected to double national electricity generation capacity, according to officials.
Yes, that is what is happening. That is what's happening in Africa. Africa is making big moves. Even South Sudan is there. We see Salva Kiir. One of the giants in African politics. When you speak about Sudan, when you speak about South Sudan, you'll be able to understand that the name Salva Kiir must ring the bell. And these days, he stated that South Sudan is also willing to import electricity from Ethiopia. And you know what is very interesting is also that when you look at all these things which are happening is based on natural resources. All these things which are happening is based on natural resources and clean energy. Clean energy, that is hydro energy. And we also be able to see that Namibia, we also have what is supporting our grid is also Rokana Hydro Electrical Power Station, and that is one of the green energy. And looking at where the world is now, you know, when you go to the first world, those countries, they develop themselves using fossil fuels and coals, and they also have defined the environment and they contributed to climate change, and they are finding it also very difficult also to clean out their environment. That's why they are the being activists of climate change. But when you look at Africa, although we are contributing less to climate change, although we are contributing less to climate change, we also have a bigger role to play because we have resources, we have natural resources, renewable energy, and we are the hub of renewable energy. When you look at plenty of sun that we have, when you look at strategically positioned countries, when it's coming to the flow of water, get the major Nile river, and also be able to look at the aspect of green hydrogen, and you will be able to see that Africa, one way or the other, although we are not moving at an understandable pace, we are moving, and it's also something which need to be appreciated, to say if African leaders, they stand with one voice and support each other, the problems that we have today will be history. The problems that we are having today will be just history. So, while we are here, the time is 53 minutes past the hour of 6. We have around 1 hour and 7 minutes. So, before we come to the end of our conversation, before we come to the end of our program. And this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. This is your economic developmental conversational program. And we are here until the hour of eight. We are here until the hour of eight. And before we come to Namibia, let us also look at what the United Nations is saying. What is United Nations is saying about obesity? What United Nations is saying about obesity? What is the report of United Nations saying? What is the report of United Nations is saying about obesity? Which is stated that obesity surpassed underweight as more prevalent from malnutrition this year, as 1 in 10 or 118 million school age children and adolescents are at risk of life-threatening diseases such as obesity. And obesity is in simple terms, is overweight. It's overweight. It's indicated that, 1 in 10 children worldwide are obese, according to the new report. And something that we really need to handle very well, especially when it's coming to health, because one thing that we used to think, especially in Africa, is that when somebody is eating a lot of food, that person is wealthy. When somebody is fat, that is a sign of wealth. But science have also started telling us to say, the bigger your body, the unhealthy that you are going to have, and also you are also going to be unproductive. That's why when you look around, and it's really something that we really need to discuss. And we are saying this with much respect. You start also to see that you find a young kid who is in grade, for example, is in grade 5. But when you look at this kid, when you look at the weight of this kid, when you look at the weight of this kid, you'll be able to understand that he's weighing even more than a person who is in grade 10, then you'll be able to understand that we have a certain problem that we need to look at, because the report of United Nations is stating that 1 in 10 children worldwide are suffering from obesity, and they also, which is placing them at risk of life-threatening diseases. I'm not a medical expert, but what you need to understand is that a bigger body or a fat body has high risk of life-threatening diseases. That's why we are always encouraged to exercise. We are always encouraged to take a walk. We are always encouraging to watch our diet. Because in Africa, when a plate is not finished, I'm also not fulfilled. And that is a philosophy that we were taught to say, you must finish the food. You must finish the food no matter what. Even if those food are not, because there's always this thing to say, you must not waste food, but you don't understand what are you putting in your body and how can you control that, because we do not have we are not from the same DNA. And some backgrounds are coming from people who are having a huge weight, that if you are not controlling it, it will also bring us problems. Because, and this is where we are talking about, especially when you talk about a center of human development. When you speak about human development, we don't only speak about the human being who is able to get resources, but also a healthy human being who is a strong human capital, who is contributing positively to the production or to the productivity of the institution that this person is. That's why that is what's happening. That's what I mean, what's happening. However, it is indicated that obesity now is exceeding underweight in all regions of the world except sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia. And what you see is in Africa is not even what the records are saying. We are even better. But when you look at the first world, you'll be able also to see that overweight is becoming a problem. But it's also one of the medical experts also spoke about this aspect of fast food. This aspect of fast food. Every time you get money, you run to KFC. Every time you get money, you run to fast food. But you don't buy fruits. You don't because you don't produce them. So that's why it's also a wake up call. Also, when you look at this report, to say when UN is speaking about children being obese, what is the future of human capital in Africa? Because we always need to think about that. What is the future of human capital in Namibia? Are we going to have strong, healthy children, strong, healthy workforce in the future? Or we are just going to have people who are not able also to do physical work, or people who are also not able to become productive due to life-threatening, diseases? And it's something that we need to work on and to look at. So let us look at this news and come back to Namibia.
Obesity surpassed underweight as the more prevalent form of malnutrition this year, affecting 1 in 10 school-aged children and adolescents, UNICEF warned in a new report Wednesday. The report, titled Feeding Profit: How Food Environments Are Failing Children, draws on data from over 190 countries. It says the prevalence of underweight among children aged 5 to 9 has declined since 2000, from nearly 13% to 9.2%, while obesity rates have increased from 3% to 9.4%. Only sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia are the least affected by obesity in children. According to the findings, several Pacific Island countries have the highest prevalence of obesity globally. The report says obesity among children is largely driven by a shift from traditional diets to cheap, energy-dense imported foods. Obesity is a severe form of overweight and leads to a higher risk of developing insulin resistance and high blood pressure, as well as life-threatening diseases later in life, including type 2 diabetes and certain cancers.
Yes, that is what the report is saying. That is what the report is saying. And when you are looking at human capital, you are looking at a healthy human being. So, a productive human being, a healthy brain, healthy body. So, a productive body. That's why we always need to make sure that we take care of our health. We watch what we eat. And we also do a certain exercise. Look at 20 push-ups every morning. At least if you don't get time, try to exercise. You know which exercise fit your body. And that is the only way that you are also going to avoid those challenges which were stated by that report. Yeah, just before we go to the news, it's 3 minutes past the hour of seven. Just before we go to the news of to what we have today, actually, you know, there is this directive where the Minister of Health is cutting middlemen, especially when it's coming to supply of pharmaceutical products or drugs or maybe medicines. Then there's a lot of complaints about middlemen, and there's a lot of complaint about, no, these things are going to they are going to, a lot of people are going to lose jobs. And it's also just something which I thought about to say. Now, yes, we have tenderpreneurs who also depend in that, that supply chain. But the argument of saying a lot of people are going to lose jobs because of tender being not used anymore, and the ministry buying directly from the supplier. But it's also a question of saying, what is the level of creativity that we have in that regard? What is the level of creativity that we have in that regard? And what is our contribution? What is our contribution to that aspect of being a middleman? Or is a middleman have a certain skill? Or are we only going to depend on that? Because looking ahead, we were supposed to come with a certain ways of doing things to say, let us innovate. Let us see how we can reduce this importation of these medical drugs, and also see what can we do internally so that we can supply our hospital. Because having a hospital with a lot of medicinal drugs is not an achievement at all. It's not an achievement at all if you are not contributing anything to the production of those medicinal drugs. That's why the issue of value addition and innovation must apply everywhere. Let us not always cry to say, no, there are no medicine, there are no medicine. What are we doing as a country? What are we doing as a country? If we can innovate in other sectors, why can't we cut across all those sectors and also save some money? So that is just something which I thought about, especially when it's coming to the health sector. Because what I'm seeing I like listening to people with different views, especially when it's coming to the way we do things in Africa. You know, there's one thing which Tamara Happy Face Kaunda said. It's a great daughter of Kenneth Kaunda. It's a medical doctor from Zambia who is a successful farmer who left medicine or practicing medicine to go to farming, and said, you know, one of the challenges that we have in Africa, or one of the cause of diseases, is lack of food. And one of the best medication, is one of the things that they've said, is a medical doctor say, the best medication is food, proper organic health food. And she left the medicine and went to farming. That's why she said, a lot of people, we need food. We are eating, but we are not eating right food. We are eating, but we are just feeding our stomach. We don't know what we are putting in. Are we putting in chemicals? And those are things that we need to think about, because when you look at the supply of fast food, and when you look at the supply of medication from outside the country, you'll be able to ask yourself to say, are we just creating dependency? So let us look at the caller. Hello? Yes, you can still call back at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. You can still call back, give your view, ask your question, give your contribution. Because like we're always saying, it's not only a one-directed conversation, but it's a conversation for everybody. It's a conversation for everybody. And it's a conversation which is accommodative. So let us pay the bills and look at what we have locally.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh?
Yes, the time is 10 minutes past the hour of... the time is 10 minutes past the hour of 7. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. This is your economic conversation program with me, David Shombe. And yeah, today we are going to look at the aspect of global African Green Hydrogen Summit, or African Green Hydrogen Summit, which is happening in Namibia, and we look at who are the key players in this industry. Who are the key players in this industry, and what are they saying in this industry? Because it's always very crucial. It's always very crucial, especially when you look at this new development in Namibia, where you will be able to understand that the Global African Hydrogen Summit has attracted international investors. It's attracted, business people who are aiming to look at what are they going to get from Namibian green hydrogen. And there are various projects which are concurrently running, particularly when it's coming to green hydrogen. Maybe before I go to my conversation with one of the key players in this industry, it's also very important to look at what the Minister of Industries, Mines, and Energy have said, and who is also serving as Deputy Prime Minister. That is, of course, Natangwe Ithete, who, as he is always standing, particularly when it's coming to different views on dealing with the economy, he stated that... we have spoken and written enough. Now it's time for actions. People want results. And he stated that green hydrogen, which is not assisting anybody on the ground, should not be seen as something which have been done. So let us take the caller. Hello?
Hello,
David.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Morning. How are you?
I'm well. How is the morning?
Fine, thank you.
Mm.
Maybe before he comes, we can briefly talk about what you were talking about.
No, no, no problem, no problem.
So issues of our health.
Yeah.
Because I remember one of the president mentioned that I cannot lead a drunkard nation.
Yeah.
I cannot lead people who are not healthy.
Yeah.
Because if we are not healthy,
yeah,
then you forget about the contribution, our contribution to economic development,
indeed,
to growth.
Yeah.
So prosperity. So you see, the food that our indigenous food,
yeah,
the food that can really build us,
yeah,
and give us strength,
yeah,
and good mind to really participate.
Mm-hmm.
It's when we eat proper food, organic food, more organic food.
Mm-hmm.
Things like a Mbidi, things like a machine, things like a Nyandi Ndunga.
Mm.
And those are the food, the Umtetes, and
yeah,
many, many others that we can grow.
Mm.
Ourselves at our own corner here.
Yeah.
These are the food that people eat. And these are the ones that we reduce the life has, what?
Risk.
Life has related illness or diseases.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And remember, when people are talking about green hydrogen, we mentioned about climate change.
Yeah.
Those people who are climate change ambassador.
Mm.
They are also built. They are also, there is that structure that's existing here within our Namibian government and the nation.
Mm-hmm.
So now, smart, when the people are talking about smart, what is it, this smart climate agriculture, what strategy
yeah,
that
yeah,
they use?
Smart agriculture, yeah.
It's because it's to produce food.
Yeah, that is point number one. It's true.
It's to produce food because this climate resilience, this mitigation strategy that you can use.
Yeah.
Now, maybe because we may have rain again this time around, but we need to, all those projects that we are talking about, to put those agriculture big projects in all the regions to transform matangas into any other things and all this cabbage and whatever we can produce.
Yeah.
People were saying yesterday, after you left, so now if we have to produce this food now, now what about South Africa? The competition is coming from South Africa. If you are producing your own food, do you think the competition will be tough?
No, if you are producing,
it's going to be tough, but you are going to buy those things at the cheaper price.
You know how the market of potatoes changed when the King's Project started producing Ihakautu.
When what? King what?
King's Project, the Ihakautu project. I think you heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the market of potato changed completely. They changed completely, and even this retail shop, they had to make sure that they bring the price down, because that is how the business is operating.
That is how business is supply and demand.
Yeah, it's supply and demand. If you have a lot in the market, then you'll be forced to make sure that you put your price down so that people, even an ordinary person, can afford to make a salad at home.
Don't look at those dynamics, my friend. You know, you were talking about the dimension.
Yeah.
Look at the different dimension of the economy.
Yeah.
So now, in this case, for us to come out from these things,
yeah,
we need to embrace the smart climate change, smart agriculture, whatever. There is a word that they use.
Yeah.
And remember, Menetumbo is talking about these things. To revive them, even though some of them have been there, maybe dormant.
Yeah.
She's so invested in this. This one is it, the adoption of the climate change in our constitution.
Yeah.
Remember, most of these constitutions around the world and here, they do not have that legal provision that can really compel you to adopt anything that has to do with climate change.
Mm-hmm.
So now green hydrogen and all these things that we are going to produce here So now, the country that we want them, because we know we are going to have logistic hubs, in terms of that, in terms of logistics, we are also fine. Now, what we can do now is for us to think of expanding our business.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why they are saying that, please come and get this access to funding. If it's there, well, what we need is just to put our house in order ourselves and say, how do we come up with a very persuasive business plan?
Mm-hmm.
And because you guys at Eagle FM, you are there giving us this thing. And we are still saying that, no, it will be the competition, the competition. Why do you have to worry about the competition if you are not producing anything?
No, exactly. That is the question. Why do you have to worry about the is the competition elimination not the aim? Why do you want to keep competing?
That is, and we are even in the economy, we talk about perfect competition.
No, you know,
so, and our legal system are also there.
You know what, even countries which are assisting us with developmental aid, they must understand that at one point, Namibia has to stand on its own. Thank you.
So please, let's wait for this young man. So all what we need to do is to mobilize ourselves.
Yeah.
Create that strong conviction within ourselves.
Yeah.
And see how we can now tap and make sure that we eat healthy food.
Yeah.
That we can produce.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yes, thank you, Akobana. You know, they say, you know, in Europe, a rich person is eating organic food, such as fresh vegetable, carrots, and, you know, these fresh vegetables and fresh, you know, fruits. While a poor person in Europe is eating fast food such as KFC, Nando's, and others. But in Africa, it's the other way around. In Africa, it's the other way around. When somebody is becoming rich, we start killing ourselves indirectly with fast food, with chemicals. Yeah, eating chicken, which, I don't know, I don't want to distort other people's businesses, but, they are unhealthy compared to statistics of science and what people are saying. But the rich person in other side is eating fresh vegetables, but here in Namibia it's a different thing. When somebody is eating, ombidi, mahanda and, omboga, endunga, they are seen to be very poor. But those are people who are very healthy. Take an ordinary young man from, your town, then you compare the strength and also the health of that person with somebody who is at the cattle post, then you'll be able to understand that even the physics, the strength and the activeness of the body, you'll be able to understand that there's quite a big difference. As this person has been eating organic food, this person has been exposed to GMO chemicals, and we become weaker and weaker every day, but we don't see that. And the aspect of us producing our own food, us standing on our own, what the donors and countries which are helping us must know is that at one point Namibia has to stand on its own. We can't keep on this thing of give us potato, give us rice, give us money, give us everything. They must understand that at one point the bird must fly. Because the small eagle must fly also and leave the nest. Because if you continue doing this thing to say, who are going to do what, there must be a time where we have our own stronger green schemes, not the one that we have now. We have a strong production of food. We have a strong production of quality meat. And depend less on the external world, because dependency will bring us problems. And people who are in business, everybody want to keep that dependency. If a person is supplying you with medicine, do you think he's giving you medicine that will cure you so that you have a healthy nation? Just give you a medicine that will make you feel better, but you still need more to maintain that. Because the moment, if you think about that, you'll be able also to understand how business is involved and how long-term strings attached, long-term unseen strings attached are there. So those are things that we need to interrogate And those are things that we need to work on. So, apart from that, when you look at the speech of the Deputy Prime Minister and the Minister of Industry, Mines and Energy yesterday, he stated that we have spoken and written enough. Let us see actions. Let us also look at the green hydrogen sector, which is accommodative, which is impacting the life of people on the ground, and also which is incorporating the leadership of women also in those industry. But one of the things which fascinated me yesterday, before you go to the conversation for today, is the progress which is done by various green hydrogen green hydrogen project, particularly High Ion, where they spoke about making deals and also getting potential clients. You know, Toyota, the company, the managing director of High Ion Oshivera project, Mr. Johannes Michaels, stated something very interesting to say. Toyota showed interest in buying green iron from Namibia. Showed interest, and at this rate, they only have around 15,000 tons. But how many millions of tons? Because Toyota wanted this to manufacture their car. They want iron which is produced using green energy. And they stated that they signed a memorandum of understanding with Toyota that was made possible by Namibia Investment Promotion and Development Board at the recent Tokyo International Conference on African Development. Those are some of the huge development that we want to see. To see if Toyota, if they want to manufacture their Red Cruiser, if you want to manufacture their D4D, you want to manufacture their Corollas and all the Toyota products. They are using green iron from Namibia, or they are using iron which are made from Namibia from green hydrogen. You'll be able also to understand that that will be millions and billions and trillions of dollars. That is a very huge market, because Toyota itself, if they sign a memorandum of understanding, when you produce, you supply to them, that is going to be a global, or it's going to shift the trade of green hydrogen product. And it's interesting to see, and the question we keep on asking is to say, when these deals are being made, How are Namibians going to benefit from this? How are Namibians going to benefit from this? Because remember, you have companies and projects in Namibia which are operating in green hydrogen, which are funded from outside. And yes, there are Namibians who are employed, but in terms of this trade, how are we going to benefit from this? Those are questions that we need to ask, and also see how can we regulate this this trade, and see that the products from Namibia at least benefit the Namibians. Because, mind you, development have been happening. Deals have been made in the high offices, at the boardrooms and everywhere about the progress of Namibia. Contracts have been given. Minerals have been sold up and down. But the life of an ordinary person changed too little. So that is why this discussion should not only be a political communication. When a deputy prime minister is talking about the latest see tangible result, he must not only make a political communication. At least our government and also our ordinary people must contribute to those legal framework to say, how are local Namibians going to benefit from this? And how are the Namibians companies also going to benefit from this? From the production, logistics, until also to the product coming into the market. So, and yesterday I got into the conversation with Kenneth Kasita. I got into the conversation with Kenneth Kasita. Kenneth Kasita is with KSB. KSB is not the one for betting with KSB. And we touch also on how young people in Namibia can offer their skills in this sector. And also what kind of business are they into? Who is supplying them? And also how are Namibian engineers also will contribute to that sector of green hydrogen, to that sector of green hydrogen. So stay tuned. In a short period of time, we'll get into that conversation. So for now, let's pay the bills and move forward.
Yes, we are continuing with.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yes, we are continuing with business and economic related matters. We are focusing on green hydrogen and industrialization. We are here at Global Africa Hydrogen Summit in Windhoek, and we met various exhibitors, different people, different business people from various industries. And now I'm joined by Mr. Kenneth Kasita. He's a sales manager of KSB Namibia, and he's going to engage us about what is the business that he is running, or the business that he is part of offering. What service do they offer? And we're also going to look at the question related to technical skills and how Namibian people can also partake in green industry. Mr. Kenneth Kasita, good morning, and how are you doing?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
No, I'm doing very well. Now, what kind of business are you into? I'm seeing a lot. Are these pumps, or what are you in an engineering company? Maybe just to give us a brief, what is the function of your business? What are you offering, and what is your contribution to this industry?
KSB is a German OEM company.
Yeah.
They manufacture pumps and valves.
Okay.
So the Namibian entity is a German-owned local entity.
Yeah.
It's fully registered in Namibia. We have 16 employees, 16 full-time employees.
Yeah.
And of those 16 employees, we have a trading shop.
Mm-hmm.
So we basically design pumps, and then we import them from our various KSB factories.
Uh-huh.
And then locally, we assemble them to fit the local market.
Uh-huh.
So locally, currently, we service the market such as mining, water, general industries.
Yeah.
Our biggest clients are Rossing Uranium, Langa Heinrich, Namibia Water Corporation, the Ministry of Agriculture through their Agribetsiv division. Yeah. They are one of our biggest clients.
Mm-hmm.
And for the hydrogen value chain, KSB globally, mm-hmm. in Europe, they are the market leader.
Mm-hmm.
They already supply pumps and valves into the electrolysis system.
Mm-hmm.
So they work with companies that manufacture the electrolysis, such as Siemens and others, and then they supply the pumping technology to them for that.
Okay, how is the business so far? What are the challenges and what are the opportunities? Quite a unique business, particularly looking at these new industries. And I know you are one of the exhibitors at this Global Green Hydrogen Summit. Maybe what are some of the challenges and what are some of the opportunities within that industry before we go to youth and technical skills?
I think like for the Namibian market, the challenges is hydrogen is a relatively new concept in globally and much more in Namibia.
Yeah.
But the opportunities is with partners such as Hyphen.
Yeah.
We are constantly engaging them and referencing our global footprint of things that the KSB group has done in the global network so that we are able to apply it in the Namibian market.
Uh-huh.
So the idea is whatever business we get in Namibia through Hyphen, through whoever that is producing hydrogen, we bring in raw material and we assemble the pumps and pumps, valves, and whatever locally, so that we do a lot of local addition, local value addition, in a way creating employment and just giving back to the community in such ways.
Yes, there is always a question. There is always a question about how can Namibian contribute to this industry. And yesterday when we attended a masterclass, one of the concepts is about skill gaps and also what are some of the technical skills the Namibian people have, particularly in this industry. Looking at your business, how many Namibians are working within the technical industry? Where were they trained? Do you give training, or how do they learn about pumps? Because they look like sophisticated pumps when I'm looking at them. I'm not an engineer, but when I'm looking at them, they are looking so sophisticated and require some engineering knowledge and also technical skills.
Yeah, but in terms of that, we work of our 16 employees, 15 of them are Namibian.
Okay.
And in management, we have two management positions that are fully Namibian.
Yeah.
So what we do is we venture on the local, existing local skills, and then we hone them into the pump market that we require.
Uh-huh.
We do internships for mechanical engineers and also for artisan fitters.
Okay.
Most of our artisan fitters were trained either by NEMT or VTC.
Yeah.
And then we brought them in. We did extra training now to bring them to our level that we want.
Yeah.
And then that's when now we are able to use them in the market.
Yeah.
And then, we do a lot of value addition in-house.
Yeah.
And then we use all the Namibian for our value additions.
Okay. Looking at the materials that these pumps are made of, looking at the future, are we seeing also this being done in Namibia, or there is still a long way to go?
I think in terms of that, there is still a long way to go, because most of these components, they require foundries.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are aware, we don't have any local foundries yet.
Yeah,
so that's why we do a lot of imports in terms of the raw materials, the casing, the impellers, the shafts.
Mm-hmm.
So they are found that wherever, in terms of stainless steel, 316 stainless steel, they can be found that in China, they can be found that in South Africa or wherever, with patented KSB technology.
Mm.
And then locally we just assemble.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now looking forward, because one of the conversation or one of the center of conversation is collaboration between the industries, either is private sector, either is NGOs, either is government. How is the collaboration, particularly with partners, especially in line with the area of green hydrogen?
So far, we've kept in constant engagement with Hyphen, with the Dowres energy product, and also even with the Hyron Oshivera project.
Yeah.
Not through us, but the technologies that they use, some of our products are already on site.
Uh-huh.
So we are constantly engaging all these guys so that we can constantly partner and constantly do a skills development in the Namibian market.
Uh-huh.
So remember, KSB is an investment firm.
Mm-hmm.
So someone put money for KSB to be in Namibia.
Uh-huh.
So the more potentially, the more business we do, the more people we can employ.
Uh-huh.
So in terms of aspects like this green hydrogen, if we get a bigger market share, then we'll be able to expand, employ more people, and do more skills trading and do more collaboration.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes. Looking at the future, if things go according to plan, if all partners are coming on board, if what we see on paper is what will happen on the ground, how is the future of KSB in Namibia in the next 5 years if everything goes according to plans?
Now, I think the future of KSB is very bright.
Yeah.
We've been in Namibia now as a legal Namibian entity for 5 years.
Yeah.
We've been operating as an independent of our investors, meaning we spend what we earn.
Okay.
So, and with now things like green hydrogen and the energy influx of oil and gas, we expect to do a certain level of business that will allow us to expand, maybe open up other branches, maybe in the coastal areas, in Luderitz, depending on the market demands.
Yes, Mr. Kenneth Kasita, thank you very much for your time, and also thank you very much for the information that you share with us, and continue with business.
Thank you very much, Mr. Do.
Yeah, that is Kenneth Kasita from KSB. It's an engineering company. They deal with pumps and also players in green hydrogen sector. You know, if you attend this event, you'll be able to realize to say a lot of people have traveled from all over. I was speaking with one guy from from Mozambique is a petroleum engineer speaking to one guy from Madagascar. People are here. People are here in Namibia. While you are sleeping, while you are in Greenwell dancing, while you are at a cuckoo shop dancing and arguing, people are here discussing about the future of our resources. People are here looking for opportunities. While you are just there gossiping and caring about minor issues, people are making decisions about our future. Here in Windhoek, they are looking at where Namibia is going to invest, who to sell, when and where, at what price. And after 10 years, we just say, no, people are corrupt. People are corrupt. They are sitting there and they are just eating. They are driving. Young people are here. People are discussing issues. People are having information. People are having documents and reading. So Namibians, when it's coming to green hydrogen and other things, let us come into the game, because otherwise we will not get it. Otherwise, it will be like diamonds and other minerals that we did not even touch. Hello?
Mr. Shombe.
Yes, sir.
Yes, this time I will just take about 2 minutes, man, since I was there already.
Okay.
But you know, the interview or the presentation of Mr. Kasita does not require a minute. It is something that is more of significant to eradication of some of this problem that we are experiencing today, my brother.
Yeah.
You are my son, actually.
Yeah, I know.
It's a young man as well.
Yeah.
You can even see.
Yeah.
The kind of vision that all of us need to promote.
Indeed.
And all of us need to promote. Yeah. Remember what we were talking about all these days? Vocational skills.
Yeah.
Academic skills.
Yeah.
Also not left out, but many of the time.
Yeah.
Is the academians who are giving us problems.
Yeah.
Because when they get to the university or institution of higher learning, special education, and they are, these are the people who are always mocking VTC graduates.
No, is it the VTC graduate who don't believe in themselves also? Because when somebody is mocking you, you're supposed to also to put on a bulletproof to say, I know what I'm doing. Because if you are the one who is building industries, why are you not having strong self-esteem? You want to be, why there is a fight? Yeah, because sometimes we don't really need to blame everybody, but I hear you. Continue.
Let me tell you the just symbol. The parents.
Yeah, I understand.
They are, when somebody gets, for example, in grade, let's say, grade 10.
Yeah.
You know, grade 10 and 12 also determine your destiny.
Yeah.
In future.
Yeah.
When the ones you fail, let's say not fail, because I don't call those things failure.
Yeah.
So just that you get a lower grade.
Yeah.
Maybe in English, actually.
Yeah.
But in the physics, chemistry, and all those pure science.
Yeah.
You get good mark.
Yeah.
That's the, what is also happening even at university. I used to fight with those professors.
Yeah.
When I want to take my niece, my nephew there those years.
Yeah.
And they will tell you. So we mock about VTC. VTC. Ourself, like you said, yes, there is a self-esteem on ourselves.
Yeah.
Why can't we put on a bulletproof? But the problem is that even now, if your child or your whoever you are taking care of does not get a mark, more mark, even this time around when our curriculum is now grounded in this green hydrogen and all these things.
Yeah.
And the Kenneth mentioned that it is up to us to expand. Because now from the assembling, you know now how to create, you know now how to, of course, in conclusion, all I'm saying is that, because there are many important things that he mentioned there, which I was jotting down. Okay? And I know there will be many people who will be calling, but they will be calling in the, who is this, Mr. Mike's phone.
Yeah,
and they are going to devalue that.
Yeah.
Neighbor.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is that this is the conversation for the youth. For the young ones.
No, I hear you.
Those who are crying for employment, those who are crying for opportunity, a lot of them, they don't even know whether this scheme that people have put there has crossed or not.
No,
nobody knows.
No, people are there making decisions for us. People are there.
They are no good thing, my friend, like you said.
No, they are making decisions for us because after 10 years, those...
No, I'm talking about the you, me and you.
Yeah.
As a student.
Yeah.
Or for law, as a student, or for science, or whatever.
Yeah.
Are you there now listening?
No, I always make sure that I have my documents because one day I'll also...
Now, at the end of the day,
Yeah.
All this Sudan, even Sudan who is in war.
Yeah.
Imports.
Yeah.
They are even talking about importing, exporting. We were talking about our trade balance this morning when I listened to you from the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
What are we doing?
Our youth. No,
I don't want the youth to point any finger to any elder.
But
some of them, they say, let them retire. When you retire, are you going to be there to fill in that gap?
No, I hear you.
Please, thank you very much, my young son.
Thank you, sir.
Continue. Where you think they are our legal framework, their legal system, and you say is hindering those youth to get those benefits? Please tell us.
That's true.
Good.
Yes. Yeah, I think with the legal framework and also with the limitation, because you know sometimes young people we are invited when it's very difficult to say no. Young people, where are you now? Is your time? It's like this thing of youth fund, which I really respect so much. But the way it was, the approach was not that, the time was not that good, and gratification of information also. But they also, you know, when you want to exclude the young people at the platform, okay, some platforms are for free, but some platforms, they require some certain level of... payment again, because, and that on its own is already a limitation, because, this year, I was lucky, and I couldn't also afford if I was not, I couldn't attend all these events if I was not, with a media, platform. I wouldn't also get there. But you also start to see even a business, and maybe a business summit, and I'm not criticizing it, to say you are bringing Karabo, for example, who is a well-known actor, investor, business person, and who understand the suffering and all these things. But there is a young person who what you pay for a ticket is already maybe the stock of his business. But sometimes some events are also excluding young people based on price, based on tickets, but there are also those for free. But it's a matter of engaging and also see. So,
hello?
So there I agree with you. You are 100% correct. Maybe we need to change the narrative now.
Yeah.
Like you said, some of these receptions or meetings, why can't they adapt a concept that was crafted from the beginning of this independence? Open doors policy, and then Dr. Hage Genkop even came and re-emphasized that town hall meeting, community meeting. So now if you really hear that is a big problem. I have seen that whenever there is a free, you know, most of the programs that take place in the UNAM, NAMPOWER, conversions, The other one, the, most of those public lecture,
yeah,
are free.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm.
The other engagement maybe that you are talking about where you can might not be free, maybe let's change the narrative and go to the villages.
Mm.
The chefs are there. The chefs are there. You can pay them little money.
Mm-hmm.
The schools are there in the villages.
Yeah.
Those ones that we're talking about to be converted. And you know, remember, yesterday you were also mentioning something that, yeah, if somebody's not performing, but there is a legal provision that that you can recall your representative. Isn't it? So that was just for yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that here now.
Yeah.
So maybe we need to move now down on the villages, because we are saying development starts from home, from the bottom.
I hear you.
So please, let's not talk about those finance and things like that. You yourself, if you know that you are not accessible to this and it's because of this and this and that that is preventing you, so that it can be addressed.
Yeah,
we are not even coming. It's only you who are saying, yes, we are not privileged.
Yes.
Maybe those ones, they are just on tip-top, top-top or whatever they call it.
okay, all right. Thank you.
Yes,
We are moving forward. We have around 10 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. And the other thing is also that when you look at Namibian young people, it's not all the young people which are not doing anything. And that is wrong to say. There are those who are at the forefront. There are those who are making sure that they get information. And there are also those who are asking questions. And there are also those who are actually participating. So it's not about saying not all young people are not there. There are those who are at the forefront. And remember, we have different generation. I mean, we have different levels of young people. They are the one who, you find the one who are closer to power and are hardworking, which is good. And you also find those who are closer to power and they are not sharing the information. And we have seen this. Even when you look at political parties, when you look at, I like comparing the youth wings. When you look at political parties, any political party, youth wing, or whatever youth structure, youth command, or whatever they say, there are still levels of young people within that youth structure to say. There are those who are closer to power and hardworking. There are those who are closer to power and are blocking each other. And there are also those who are just there, just moving, and you are not accommodated. And the question that we need to ask is that when it's coming to issues of our society, when it's coming to the future of Namibia. And it's a matter of fact, in the next 20 years or 15 years, people that you are seeing at critical positions are not going to be there anymore. In the next 15 years, the cabinet that you are seeing is not going to be there anymore. People are going to, it's a matter of time. And I used to give this presentation to say, we have been talking about elders and elders, but now we are transforming. When you look at youth activists, main youth activists of start from 2010 to 2017, where are those youth activists? Some of these people are now having their houses and their wives, and they graduated to adulthood. You understand what I'm saying? The youngest war veteran now, the youngest maybe is 55 or 56. Now, the question is that, what is the common agenda that young people are sharing in Namibia? Just in general, the common youth agenda. Do we have that? Either young people in politics, young people in business, young people in energy industry, are these guys united, or we are not united? Because if you ask ourselves those questions, then you understand where we are. Then you understand where we are, because at this point in time, when you look at Namibia 20 years from now, and if you are not fixing the problems that we have now, it's going to be very difficult. The population is increasing, service delivery is there, you can judge it yourself, corporate affairs is like that. The chairperson of boards who are fighting now and in the boardroom, they are going to go, it's us who are going to be there, the young people. And are we going to continue with the same act that we are that you are, that they are failing to implement. Yeah, because if we are not fixing these things now, it will give us more trouble. Yeah, because the problem is still going to continue growing. It's the same with green hydrogen sector. It's the same with oil and gas. If we are moving away some people who are coming from outside, are going to take care of these natural resources, and there is nothing that we are going to do. We are just going to be watching there, continue driving our taxis and all these things. So that's why we are telling you to say these are the conversations that we must have, especially conversation of the economy, conversation of handling resources. If you are not having those conversations, people are going to take our resources formally, legally, and you are not going to, and there is nothing that you are going to do. So yeah, we have around 6 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. Just before we come to the conversation. No, you know, there is this thing which happened, especially when you look at the ministry. And I think it's also something that we need to express further. You look at the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development, and also various cities and towns, and how he's greening the house. And there's an aspect of City of Windhoek. Some money were taken from City of Windhoek there's a budget cut of City of Windhoek because with reason presented to say they are not developing informal sector. And apparently money is allocated to towns which are very serious. Now, it's something that, when I look at it from my perspective, and we need to interrogate it to say, when somebody is not performing, who are you punishing? Who are you punishing? Because if you are saying, for example, and maybe we should extend this conversation further with other programs to say, if a town council is not performing, if a municipality is not performing, then there is a budget of millions that you put on the table. Then you decide to say, no, you guys, you are not delivering. I will take this money to some people who are very serious. Now the question is that if you go deep into that, who are you punishing? Is it the counselor? No, the counselor is still going to get his salary. Is the CEO? No, the CEO is still going to get his 250,000. Salary per month and his benefit. The executive are still going to get, but who is suffering? Are still the downtrodden people who are on the ground. Maybe that is really something that we need to look at, because if a municipality is not performing, you can't punish it with taking resources. You find a way to make this municipality performing. Otherwise, we still have a long way to go. We still have a long way to go. It's like a person is not delivering, you are suspending a person with full salary. Why the intention of you putting that person is for that person to deliver on that ground. So I think we need to look at that. We need to look at that to say, when you are punishing somebody for not performing by taking out the resources, that what the performance of that person was supposed to give a result of improvement of life of that of an ordinary person. But when you are taking resources to say, no, you guys are not improving the informal sector, I'm taking these millions of money and I'm sending it to another. And remember, we are half a million in Windhoek. We are half a million and we are growing with more than 3% every year. And the population is still going to increase. And if we are still operating at that level, I think we really need to relook at that, and those who are in charge in the council must also make sure that politics are, must not focus too much on politicking, but on delivering of services, so that at least we can have some good changes, and also improvement of human development on the ground. So, dear listeners, like we are always saying. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for listening to Early Morning Scoop. Thank you for listening to Early Morning Scoop. And yeah, I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Mike Oshoveri. with Unpacking the Day. I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Mike Oshoveri with Unpacking the Day. We'll give the mic to Mike to unpack the day. And yeah, stay tuned. And do not forget to follow us in our social media platform, Eagle FM Namibia, your number one talk radio station. That is Facebook, X, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Share, like the Villager newspaper and download the app so that you make your life easier, so that you have access to economic data, so that we elevate the conversation from the basic conversation about who has the first car in town to how can we manufacture our own cars and how can we get the shares in oil and gas and how can we get shares in green hydrogen and also how can we, which courses do we need to study to make sure that we position ourselves and we have a vantage point. We have a vantage, point when it's coming to businesses and investment in Namibia. So, stay tuned and bye-bye for now. See you next time.